Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I like sucking, but I ain't gay.
Legit bad podcast.
Fuck those honkies.
Kick ass.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
He really knows how to suck a wiener.
God damn it. I didn't push the button again.
What button?
Hey, how's it going? Okay. How many times can we do this intro and still fuck it up every time? We're going to have a great show for you today. I'm Bob in the studio. We have Bob in the field over there. Bob, how's it going?
Pretty good, Bob. How you doing, Bob?
Good. And I got Bob next to me here.
Hey, Bob.
Thanks. No, I'm Joe. I don't know what that was.
I don't either. What the fuck is going on?
I don't know. No, I'm Joe. Jen's here. Ben's here. Lene is going to be here shortly. And we have, I don't even know how many times she's been here now, but Monica Perez from the Propaganda Report, monicasdeepdives.com, and I want to say this is like your fourth time being here. What have you kept count?
I think so. I feel like I was one of your earliest guests.
It was one of the first like three, I believe. Yeah.
Yes, I like that. I feel complimented. I feel like a bond with the show.
Yeah, it's been 2.5 years now. I know you guys have been going longer than that, but
wow,
that
seems like this is my 10th year in broadcasting.
You have that radio voice down. Perfect.
Yes, I could even do like the NPR thing where it's like sweaty balls, these sweaty, salty balls.
Boner.
For Christmas.
Some ASMR stuff.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I saw AOC like dancing, sitting on the floor of a stage. And I just, when I envision her as a college intern for Ted Kennedy, the most important senator of all time, and I think that people believe that she's just somebody who's like fell into it and eats popcorn loudly and like, it's being a congressman, it's easy. I mean, you just have to feel, your way through it. It's like, no.
Wasn't she a bartender or something?
Don't even get me started on that. Yeah. That is bullshit. That's all I have to say. No, I will tell you, I'm going to tell you that because she has this thing where she's like a waitress or whatever. And I was really on it because she's a creative person. And I found like a lot of inconsistencies in the story of where she supposedly was a waitress. And finally, like one of the stories was about a place that didn't even exist when she was supposedly the waitress. And when she was supposedly bailing her family out of financial problems, it was really because her dad's will was being disputed, which means there were assets. And one thing I looked at, I was like, I don't even think she was a bartender. They're like, she's a craft cocktail bartender. And I know like a little bit about that. And I could ask her questions. I always wanted to like be in the audience. Just like, I just want to ask you one question. Like, what's the difference between a sour and a flip? And given that she would absolutely not know that, I was like busted. But I was watching Jeopardy at my mom's. And there was this, like, I think he was a self-proclaimed autistic guy. He had been a craft cocktail bartender. His name was Austin, and maybe he isn't autistic. I'm sorry, I don't want to like label people. I know a lot of autistic people. I don't know who would be insulted, the autistic.
Well, technically you're not labeling him if he's self-proclaimed,
right? I think he was self-proclaimed, but I mean, if he wasn't,
to answer your question, self or autistic people are not offended by anything, as are we'll say mentally handicapped people. They're not offended by it. It's everyone who isn't that's offended by it.
Okay, yeah. Well, I have a son with Down syndrome, and we know a lot of people with autism, and I've never had a problem with them. I don't want to insult Austin. I was a big fan of his. But what happened was he was so wildly popular, and he was a big winner on Jeopardy. And I thought to myself, she used to say she was a waitress, and now it says she's a bartender. And I thought they changed the story. And I went back to look and to see if the month that he was on Jeopardy – if that's when the story changed from when she was a waitress to when she was a bartender, and it was. So I'm not saying any. All I'm saying is I call bullshit on that.
So going in a little bit while I have you on this topic, I've heard you mention that a lot of times about different people like Obama and other people. What's your definition or your idea of a created person?
So I coined the term. It's in my glossary. And it's people who... So my first example was Fidel Castro. So I'm not 100% positive, but there is a letter that's in evidence document that he wrote to FDR when he was 12 years old saying, I will do anything for this country, for America. He's a Cuban kid. And I'm like, I think they took him up on it. And like James Comey, when he was 17, several times the government's had to spend millions of dollars for James Comey's lies. So when he was 17, he identified the Ramsey rapist as some particular guy, and the guy went to jail and everything, and they had to pay him $3.5 million, I think was the number, because it was absolutely untrue. It wasn't him. And I think that they kind of identified Comey the way they identified George Soros when he was 14 and working for the Nazis. Like, this guy will do anything. Like, he's a sociopath, has no conscience, and we can work with this guy.
We don't even have to pay him that much. He's just going to do it.
Yeah, he's into it. So I think especially people like Stacey Abrams and AOC, one of the things is that you see these high schools or programs for really talented people of color. In one case, AOC got scholarships and stuff or whatever was in a program for Hispanic, like high achieving Hispanics. And Stacey Abrams went to this thing called the Telluride. I forget what exactly it was called. And I think it was for people of color, but certainly had a lot to do with, you know, I don't know. They make it look like it's giving somebody a hand up. But what I actually think it is getting their face jobs in place, like getting their forward look, their face fronting people of color to deliver their globalist, like CFR kind of messages, but make it look like it's coming. Because Stacey Abrams has actually said, you can tell by looking at me that I can be trusted. And that, I think, is what their job is. And so they take these people in high school, they screen them, whether they, you know, maybe Young Global Shapers is like that. There's a lot of those World Economic Forum ones. And I think they identify the people as teenagers and just hopefully they want people who probably don't really know what they're doing. I think AOC does know because she's acting stupid on purpose. But yeah, they just make, I think they create people, they create their persona. I think Obama is one of those people. Like his, when he was in Indonesia, he was the adopted son of a guy who was working for Union Oil in as a liaison with the U.S. coup installed government over there. I mean, Obama was deep state from the day he was born, probably the day he was conceived. And they just think of him as, you know, hopey changey, you gotta, you know, like he's gonna heal this country and all of that, you know.
They just remind me of the West version of royalty, where they're just born into this particular family that grooms them from the time they're young and for a particular purpose to be the face job of whatever, you know, agenda they're pushing. They're not really real people, they're kind of automatons, you know.
That's a good point, and I think they sacrifice their kids to it. I think that when you think, well, don't people care about their kids? I think that's when I start wondering if there's a cult elements to it. Like they have little children. There was one woman who made such a convincing, it was like an hour and a half. She was crying and talking to some interviewer or testifying before an impromptu court or whatever, that like her parents had her and her sister as little kids conduct these human hunting parties, and like men would chase these naked kids around. And I could finish that story too, but it's pretty gruesome. And
I was going to say, I think in a lot of ways, it's not as much a literal sacrifice, although I'm not saying that that's not existent, but I think a lot of it is the commitment, whether it be, you know, two generations, three generations, however long. It's the idea of procuring a certain spot, whether it be in social status or in upper economics or wealth or whatever have you, with the promise of basically tutoring and raising these kids as part of another cog in their machine. And they have to have, you know, a certain criteria or this, that, and the other. It kind of goes along with, you know, we've known for a long time, all the tabloids have been fake for forever. You know, oh my gosh, so-and-so's cheating on so-and-so. Obviously, we all know that that's fabricated. And I think a lot of that is nothing more than possible eugenics. The idea of putting people together for the procurement of specific DNA children lineage so that they can be used as tools for their own gain as long as they, you know, turn them over.
You just blew my mind with that one. Like, so is it, I'm thinking that there, man, you can bring what I'm saying back to what you're saying, maybe that they have like different kids they use for different things. Like the Hinckley who shot HW, right. The father, Hinckley who shot Reagan, his family was friends with the Bushes, who was the vice president under Reagan.
Right.
And but why would they sacrifice this kid? Well, he had mental health issues, supposedly. And like the JFK's father, my mother said he gave Rosemary, JFK's sister, a lobotomy because she was promiscuous, not because there was something wrong with her. So and then they just locked her away. So they will offer some of their kids up. They will sacrifice them. I think that's possible.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
And what are you saying? Like, that's the payment they make, like a JonBenet Ramsey kind of idea that they're making a human sacrifice, really.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the actual death of the child in a human sacrificial way. I'm not saying that that's not prevalent and at all, you know, plausible. I think
right.
Anything is. But my thing is that I think that it's more of somewhat of an organic MK Ultra kind of thing where they get these kids that are born from people that they've picked out. And basically those kids get committed, whether you want to call them a sleeper agent or that kind of idea, they get tutoraged through society the way that they were promised that they would be. And in exchange, they get wealth, money, power, whatever, you know, whatever the price tag or blank check is, these kids are now being raised for the purpose of then entering politics, entering the social arena, entering this, that, and the other.
That's really interesting. And I wonder if it's kind of like Britney Spears and like the people who are in the Mickey Mouse Club. They're always, these child actors are always fucked up, like always.
Oh yeah.
And then, maybe not always, but most of the time. So they're selling their souls and they're ending up being part of this elite. But I can't, you know, that's interesting because you can't imagine they're any more psychologically healthy than the little child stars. So maybe their system doesn't really, maybe that's the weakness in their system.
Well, I think
it
that
must anything- be one that started too, because like the child actors of the past, like Shirley Temple, was she kind of fucked up too? Because I can't remember.
I feel like so she dropped out and got married and just withdrew. And then she became Shirley Temple Black and she was a UN mm-hmm.
ambassador
like Audrey Hepburn was. Yeah,
that's yeah. weird in itself right there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that is weird. Yeah,
and you brought up an interesting
I was just gonna say really quick, I think that any parent who lets their child go into that industry and then follows through with everything the industry wants that child to do, and then they impose the same, you know, philosophies on their children that is coming back to them, like, hey, your kid's gonna have to do this. She might have to dress a little promiscuously. And then they're like, yep, you're doing this. To have a parent tell that to the child on top of the industry saying that to both of them, that's gonna fuck up a kid no matter what.
Well, and you get these shithead parents like the Spears family where they don't give a fuck what their daughter goes through. They're like, ka-ching, that's a cash register kid right there.
Yeah, the kids within the beauty pageants, things like that. It's all already
promised in the household. It's all what?
It's all already gross in their household. Like there's something wrong already to even get to that point.
That is the weird thing about JonBenet Ramsey. But what Ben was saying also about like they kind of promise them stuff. And I'm sure that starts really young because that is what my son, I never ever go in for this stuff, but it was like a Down syndrome thing. They wanted to take a picture of him and he just wouldn't cooperate. And I knew he wouldn't because he could never sit still. So I left. I had to go like get my other kid and there were a lot of people around. So I left and I came back and he was like totally cooperating. And I was like, wow, how did you do that? And he looks up at me and he says, I just had a Coke for the first time and I freaking love it. And I was like, oh, so you had like candy. And I imagine like if he wasn't five, it would have been something else. And
he's all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Yeah, he was all jacked up.
Real quick, one of the things that I was thinking of is what's the other flip side to that? What's the control? how do they control that influx? Obviously, I guess you could call it child or baby procurement has been a thing for a very long time. You can even read about it in old, you know, manuscripts. Give me your firstborn, right?
Isaac,
you know, the plague that killed all the firstborns in Egypt. Jesus, fuck. But no, my thing is that if you look backwards at it, they can make anything happen. So what you said about them lobotomizing her, the first thing I thought of is, okay, so let's for a second pretend that they're not actually looking at themselves as the parents. They're getting paired up to have a child to be used for someone else's, you know, nefarious purposes. That baby's not going to be raised with those parents. They're going to be raised. They can wipe their identity. They can literally create an entire new thing for this child based strictly on the pair that they have paired up for that child. So now you have somebody walking into politics with the last name of, I don't know, Kennedy. But in reality, it was born from other parents, but raised in a household based on those genetics to be raised a particular way, whether it be high IQ, certain looks. You mentioned, you know, look at my face. I look like somebody you can trust. Whether it be plastic surgery, all of these things.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
My idea is that it's nothing more than property. It's nothing more than property for sale. Yeah, biologically, they may have these children, but to them, it's just
clones.
It's just signing that check so that they can cash it.
It's like early slavery. It's like slavery from birth.
Right. And they can make all of it go away if there's a whistleblower. So, for instance, they come up just out of, you know, example, maybe she wasn't promiscuous. That's the cover front for lobotomizing her so she doesn't talk. Those are the kind of instances that I'm talking about.
So, Monica, obviously Ben has gone full off the deep end since we started this show, and I love it.
Yeah, no, I'm actually looking up a reference to a book that I read. I read a book. I was just laying on my mother's house, so I read it, Harlan Coben. I never indulge in fiction, but it was there. I read it, had jet lag, called Runaway, and I was also just started watching Blacklist. Don't tell me anything about that show because I'm in the first season, and I really liked
it. We watched one episode of that.
I haven't seen it.
As long as it was before the one I'm watching. So I don't want to hear it. I don't want to
have a ball.
Nothing. Don't tell me anything about it. So because it's hard because I have to agree with my normie husband. It's like very difficult to find anything that we can watch. I can't watch anything. I can't watch the news. I can barely watch sports because I'm just like, that isn't real. There's no chance. Who would make a call like that? Well, he's an idiot. He's not. He's a professional football coach. He's not an idiot.
I give you Colin Kaepernick.
But in these two things that one Blacklist episode and one this book, Harlan Runaway, in both cases, there was a ritualistic, highly curated genetically birthing system, you know, that wasn't a parental thing. And these kids were being used for nefarious purposes. And it's just when you see a theme recur, I can't help but think that there has to be some corollary in reality to it, whether it's predictive programming or not. I just feel like it's if someone can think of it, they're trying it.
Well, and Joe's mentioned several times, you know, it's kind of like numerology. Once you get, if you really let yourself get into it, you'll see a pattern in everything. It's numbers. It's really easy to do that. That's why we learn them. But you start seeing patterns socially, whether it be behaviorally or psychologically, that it ends up being a pattern. And so I was just talking about this with Lene last night, where these time periods in history where large scale changes happened, and then there was like kind of a plateau for several hundred years before these next multiple instances of world-changing events would happen. And of course, this is based off of the amount of history that, you know, what we have, whether it's true or not. So whenever you have those patterns, that's where you start to look. What, you know, what's the root of it? There's, you know, the saying, ignorance of history is history repeated. So it's one of those things where you start to see the patterns and you go, okay, we're due for another one. I think that we're in that.
Well, I get the whole, like the numerology thing that I can't deal with that because as soon as the patterns start not making sense, they say, well, there are like four different systems of numerology. So if you switch to this other system, then that pattern is consistent with this other. I can't deal with that.
That's what the mainstream media does to us every day.
Yes.
Explain that.
They're totally working. We just,
And to caveat this, I have a lot of friends and people in this community that are
great. Yes, I know, me too. Wait till I hit the flat earthers in a minute.
A lot of it makes a lot of fucking sense. Yeah, but yeah. Like Ben was saying, whoever. Yeah, there's like four different systems of gematria. There's like traditional or like Hebrew or whatever, all these different things. Like if you use this one, it makes sense. Like
wordplay too. When people say this word came from this word, but they're saying it in the English language, and I'm like,
I kind of like that translate across every single language. That one I like.
I was just talking about
that. There's no such thing as a false cognate. I think you're wrong about that one. I do. I think I think my son, you might have met him at one point or another, Fat Mitch. So I was like, does he get insulted if you call him that? But he's not actually fat. But he was reading that Salts of Salvation thing. Do you know about this? There's like 12 salts that you need, like depending. I don't know if it's supposed to be tied with astrology. It's supposed to tie in with the Bible. I'm not sure exactly. Yes. I think that's it. So he told me, he's like, you're magnesium deficient. I'm like, I actually am magnesium deficient. He's like, yeah, I can tell because of whatever. And I'm not saying that that's correct or whatever. It happens to be true every time we address something with the salts, because we bought all the salts. But he was saying that the ancient truth that they don't want us to know about, and he's not like Ben, who's down in the rabbit hole here, like down in the rabbit hole inside the rabbit hole.
Last 48 hours, I've gone so fucking deep that I'm not sure I can come back.
Well, I want to hear it. And the only conclusion is that what Mitch was saying is that you can't, that the hidden information is in just the roots of the word. So if you just look at a word, you can go back to the Greek or whatever the root is, and there is a truth there. Like if it's a compound word, he would give you a bunch of examples, but he'll do it with any word. It's like, just go back and look at the word and you can know what its deep ancient meaning is. And that I think is a little different from the numbers where unless they tell me in advance which system that we're going to use this time, it's,
That's Box Saga stuff. Yeah, our buddy Andy, I think you were just on his show not that long ago, the Deep Share.
Yeah, that was a good one.
He's into that Box Saga stuff. If you've never looked into that yourself, it's a fucking trip. Like, it's out there, but it has the same thing. The sound of words was like an ancient language, or Ben would probably actually...
Not the sound. I'm not talking about the sound, but yeah, okay. So, Ben, why are you in a rabbit hole inside a rabbit hole?
I'm talking about the sound. So, Monica, I was talking about the sound.
I was going to go back and say, I shut you up, Jen,
No, it's okay, because you were like, I like that one. I understand the meanings of the words can relate. That's different. Oh. They're saying that the sound of the word sounds like this other thing, and that's where it correlates, and where I just kind of...
I never even heard of that.
The swap is where it's kind of like Box Saga stuff, like what Joe was going to go into, where they're talking about root language, but it's R-O-T, like rot language, and it's root. But I'm like, what is root in, like, German or Hebrew or any language in the fucking whole world? And if it doesn't sound the same, you can't just say that that's the same because of this. And I'm not...
Yes, that's not easy to debunk.
I'm not relating it to Fox either. It's just the sound. People relate the sounds, and I just don't get that.
I've looked up occult and culture and cult, and you would think that all three are the same, but one of them isn't. Like, you can see, so the etymology of the words will help you understand that as well. So I'm not sure, like, cult is either culture or occult. So it's either what's happening or it's the secret. Like, I don't know. I should probably look it up right now, but I don't want to lose my train of thought. And I want to hear where, let's get down into Ben's rabbit hole inside the rabbit hole. What do you think?
I don't know. If I'm gonna be,
do we not want that?
No. I don't know if I'm going to be able to. Oh, sorry, Jen.
No. I was like, go.
So I'll touch on two things. One, yesterday I listened to a 3-hour podcast featuring Paul Wallace. He does an entire book series, Scars of Eden, and a bunch of the other things, where he brings all of these things that have started to come about in the last century and has an explanation for it, which ties a lot of things in. So the Eden story, he started out as, I believe, a priest in a parish, and a very godly man, tried to follow everything to a T, and he started having these paranormal encounters and these little intuitions and premonitions and things of that nature. So he started delving into what his degree is in, which is linguistics. And what he started getting into was that he started taking parts of the Bible that for a very long time people can't really wrap their mind around, because whether it be the version of the Bible they're reading, how old it is, and this has been something that we've all talked about on the show several times. Hardcore Baptists will always go into why the 1611 King James Version is the Word of God. And that is the seventh translation in the English language alone, which was then which was translated from another language, which was translated from the original
languages.
I wasn't
allowed to read that, just so you know.
What's that?
We're not allowed to read the King James Version.
That's probably for your benefit. So it was this idea that if you take certain words, for instance, what got started on us was one of the words in the Bible at the very beginning in Genesis, it calls God Elohim, and yeah. Elohim is a Hebrew word. But the problem with linguistics is he has this term called affrication. Affrication is where the same word in the same language over time starts to soften or harden, which then puts into effect dialect. Dialect then can have different meanings to words that now sound different. So for instance, if you take an English person that's never heard an American accent and an American who's never heard a British accent, they're going to be able to understand each other. But if you take somebody who has a Cockney British accent, you're not going to be able to understand a word of it. They use different words, although they are a part of Britain. And so it's one of those things where what started out as a hard S ends up being an ST, ends up being a T. So he's looking at Elohim, and he started actually diving into what Elohim meant at the time that it would have been written, not the way that we translate the Hebrew word today.
Well, El means God. So what does Ohim mean?
Us.
It's plural. Oh,
Gnosticism?
So the idea
is what you're saying, but Gnosticism? Well,
he does touch on Gnosticism, but it's this idea.
The answer was in the word.
It's the idea that the perspective is all kind of tied together. It's like, you know, the saying, the best lies are mixed with truth.
Yes.
Because then it's hard to actually say that it's a lie when there are parts of it that are true.
So, all of the media.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't work. It's like the Rolling Stones. I mean, they couldn't control your mind if they weren't really awesome.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Is that bad? Am I outing their Tavistock connection?
Oh, not at all. No, we've gone into that before, which is a real bummer. I love Classic Rock.
Say it again. Sorry, I talked about.
Oh no, I said it's a real bummer. We've gone into that shit, and it sucks because I'm a big Classic Rock fan. So I it's a sore
spot. I'm not, and it's still super depressing.
No, it's totally. I won't have it. Like my go-to outfit, I go to festivals. I always have rock T-shirt, a blazer. My husband's like, "You look great." I'm like, "I know," but every once in a while, someone would be like, "MK Ultra." I'm like, I'm not MK Ultraing anybody.
I've heard you talk about Grateful Dead before too.
He won't let me talk about the Grateful Dead. My husband won't because he's a complete Deadhead, and he's just like, "I don't want to hear it." I'm like, "But," and I just won't because it would really ruin it for him, and I really don't want to.
Yeah, the first time I heard it, I'm like,
"No, it's totally." I don't even, although they did give everybody acid and people completely.
No, it makes total sense. That's what pisses me off is it makes total sense. I'm like,
they wouldn't necessarily have known it. And I mean, I would say, and the music is still good, but, and anyway, no, I like the American Beauty or whatever. Like I like the studio stuff, but I just, that fucking 20 minutes of drum space or whatever.
I just can't handle it.
Although I went to Fare Thee Well, which was the Chicago like 50th anniversary goodbye tour with Trey Anastasi or Anastasia, whatever you call him. In New York, it would be Anastasia. But so then under those unique circumstances, I understood the whole thing. I really got it.
Those unique circumstances, I'm gonna say that you were high as a motherfucking kite.
Not at work.
I did not partake of this particular thing, but it was the first time I ever witnessed vaping. And no, because that was a long time ago, right? The 50th thing. And two of the people, we were with 30 people, two of the people ended up in the hospital because it freaked them out.
Whoa.
No, not because they're pussies. These are old school deadheads. but they were used to just like actual weeds that grew out of the ground. So when they were passing whatever this thing, people were just like, oh, you take as huge a hit as you can possibly hold in your lungs and hold it in as long as possible, not really realizing there's like a fucking dial or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I know that like now, if we were all there again, nobody would have gone to the hospital because you just know, oh, you think you're going to die. But what you really need to do is just rock back and forth in the corner for a couple of hours because that's all you're going to do at the hospital anyway.
Yeah. Here's a grilled cheese. You'll be fine.
So, but yes, and it's kind of, I feel like the dead show thing also is kind of like not being able to take your cell phone to the golf course. It's like, or sports, going to sports. I'm always like, you have tickets to a game, so you're allowed to go sit there for 6 hours while I do all the laundry, take care of all the kids and cook dinner and whatever. And that's just why? Well, because you have tickets. It's like, okay, now I understand what live events are for.
Yeah. Anyway, Ben, sorry, we cut you off in the middle of your rabbit hole.
It's because I'm like on my third glass of wine.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, it's okay.
This is how our show always goes.
Fully submerged. So when I explained it to Lene last night, it had all been running through my head. For like the last hour at work, I'm connecting all of these dots. One of the things that kind of connected was they were talking about the Smithsonian, and these were a couple of podcasts that seasons apart, but I happened to listen to them back to back at work, and they were talking about the same thing. But long story short, they're finding these large, fully complete, thousands of year old giant remains. They all have six fingers and six toes. They found them across the North Americas, South Americas, and in other countries. Now, the issue is that every time they've tried to commit them to the Smithsonian, after having them dated and looked at and all this, the Smithsonian for a very long time, which by the way, was founded in 1886, right before 1890, that was another dot I connected. They would commit them to the Smithsonian and they would disappear. They would never end up in the museum. There was never a paper trail, and they would say that they couldn't find them. Now this happened like so WikiLeaks. Often. Yes, this happened so often that they called out the guy who started it. And the guy who started, or he was just resisting taking them. Like, no, they've got to be fake. Nobody's that tall. You're talking anywhere between 8 and up to 13 foot giants with skulls that they measured at like 24 to 36 inches, just like massive fucking skulls. And all of them had six fingers and six toes. Well, if you go look back at the Book of Enoch, you're talking about Nephilim, the Watchers, Anunnaki, all of these different things. And when you look at all of the worldwide religions, they all have stories of giants. Okay. Now, obviously, there was several puns in there about giants being dino fuckers and trying to interbreed with dinos. And that's why you find giant remains next to dinosaurs and stuff like that. But the idea is, why would a Darwinian institution deny giants? Because it would show the opposite of evolution. It would show that we had more fingers and grew taller back in the day, and now we are, you know, 5'5 and 135 pounds. So at the same time, the Christians don't want to accept it, because if that's accepted, then it proves more that things like the Book of Enoch, which is no longer and has not been canonized, actually took out of canonization, would be true. But the problem with the Book of Enoch is that it goes directly against everything else that the Bible teaches. So you have these two great warring factions, Darwinianism and Christianity, that both don't want to admit to these large skeletons. Well, why would that be? Because if both of those institutions got shattered, everything would be shattered. So you go back, and this actually ties into what Joe was talking about, or Joe mentioned that, you know, Andy and myself have kind of gotten into, is these dates keep popping up between 800 and 1300 AD. In 1250, it was a very significant year. That's when the Catholics started their crusades. It's when they invaded Helsinki. And they turned what we knew of the Bible into something else. Now, this was still when it was strictly being translated from Hebrew and Greek. Well, we didn't find the Dead Sea Scrolls until the mid-1900s. Why would something so precious and in many cases, like the Book of Enoch, dated before the other books of the Bible be hidden. So the idea is that because of the contents, if you were to believe the Book of Enoch, these things of watchers, basically alien races that had been given our planet as basically a budding plant to take care of and nurture and teach, which is where the Bible would have come from. It's to show us how to progress on our planet. And we basically said, no, as the Bible would say, we rejected God. When really in the Bible, the word for God is us. So you have all of these different things that start connecting, yet we've rejected them. And then you have these turning points in history. So that was the rabbit hole that I went down yesterday. And I'm connecting these things with Indian burial mounds and all this other stuff. And it did come into play with that Bach saga where they're talking about the root language. It's the idea that they had one sound for different parts of their original continent, where every one of those sounds, and I think it's like 37 different sounds, not only meant something, but when you applied them in sequence, it told a story just in that word. And they have a theory that Atlantis was actually Alt-Lant-Is, which means all land ice. Well, if you go up to the Nordic countries, there's a lot of ice up there.
But what Jen is saying is, are those the words in Norwegian? But it might be. In that case,
that's
it might
the
be.
Thing. This root language goes to both Finnish and English.
Right.
So you can tie them both together, but it's just those two languages. Now, right, there. Good.
I just have a lot of comments.
So what Bach saga will say is that, like, the English language and this language, or not even English, Germanic languages, maybe, they all kind of have the same root, and that's, like, the most important language, which is fine with me. That's, like, where they go, though. It's kind of like what Joe was saying earlier. There's a bunch of different versions. So.
Isn't it the like Sanskrit and stuff? Like if you go, it goes like India up around the back of Europe into Sweden. Like that was the migration of human beings. And that is like how the language goes. So if you're talking about that, I think it has to go all the way.
According
like, it
to
doesn't
the Bach,
stop there.
According to the Bach saga, they have different Ragnaroks. And the second Ragnarok is when the world was covered in ice. At that time, the pole shifted. So according to the Bach saga, our pole used to be straight up and down, not that 20-degree tilt. When it was, the center of that pole was Helsinki, otherwise known as Hell. Hell was not a bad place, but the Catholics in 1250 invaded to destroy what they considered paganism, the Vikings, who worshipped all of these old gods. And so the idea is that when that happened, they migrated from the pole down. So now you have the migration from the pole into what would now be the Scandinavian countries and also the Indian countries.
Is it possible those are just the Neanderthals? Because if you look at a map of Neanderthals and a map of blonde people, it's, I think, pretty much exactly the same. And if you do your 23andMe, like, I fucking failed that IQ test a long time ago. Can you believe it? People can't believe it. Like,
oh, my
God. I can't believe. And not, I don't even care about myself, but I doomed my children. Although they took that little drop of blood the day they were born anyway. So I don't know if you're...
Well, I think we're all doomed. We're all equally doomed.
We're
it's
all
fine.
Doomed. But so sub-Saharan Africans do not have Neanderthal DNA. Europeans do. For some reason, Asians have double what Europeans have. So I don't know if that has to do with, you know, where it came from. But seems to me, because it seems like a subset of humanity has blue eyes. Like, that's just weird. Very few people have blue eyes. And I feel like it's just Neanderthals.
I mean,
all three of us have blue eyes.
It's
so
rare.
We're probably Neanderthals. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like 2% Neanderthal. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I know that sounds crazy. It's one of those things where it's like been in my bouncing around my brain pan for so long and it just seems to come out of nowhere. But I really, if you look at it, because most people have brown, like of the 7 billion people on Earth, how many do you think have blue eyes?
I don't know. We could give that a Goog and find out.
I don't know. Linnea has them too.
All trace their heritage back to that tiny little place in Northern Europe. I mean, what other place started blue-eyed people? And this is why I started thinking about it, because they say that human beings left Africa 40,000 years ago. So in 40,000 years, it went from sub-Saharan African to my Swedish nanny. And then, so what about the Inuit? What about the Eskimos? How long have they, you know, like, so saying, well, they had to adapt to the like ice and everything. And 40,000 years, you turn completely ice blue. But how long have the Eskimos been there, you know? And then what about people in South America, like Tierra del Fuego? Like those people came, the story of human migration, the official narrative is they came up from Africa. They went 40,000 years ago, went all the way across Asia, across the Bering Strait, over into Canada, down through North America, down through South America, and are in Tierra del Fuego. So I don't understand why those people still have brown eyes if there's all this, you know, like I just don't, well, 40,000 years just doesn't seem enough to become blue eyed. And I feel like I think your guys are Neanderthals. No offense.
Not everything. No, I would agree. I just think a lot of this stuff
could be a compliment. I never met a Neanderthal.
The reason it doesn't make sense, a lot of this stuff, is because I think people just don't know what the fuck they're talking about half the time, but it gets written down.
I'm not saying I know what the fuck I'm talking
about. No, not you. History, like in general, people don't know.
Well, that stuff, do you know for sure? Like you said that they destroyed the evidence. So what makes you believe that there is evidence? Like, show me the giant skull, take it, pull it out from your desk and explain to me how you know that it's real. Well, I'm not trying to challenge you, but I just don't understand. How am I supposed to know that there really are giant skulls somewhere?
Well, first of all, they do have genuine pictures from back when they got them in the late 1800s.
But they have dinosaur pictures too from then, and that's bullshit.
So, but this is exactly my point, is that around that time when these things were coming up, a lot of the most secure, I guess you could say, history has been oral history from indigenous tribes.
Right. And they don't have dinosaurs in that, but
no,
they might,
but
have
almost
giants.
Every Native American tribe has nothing but history of these giants. And in the episode I was listening with what they were talking about, almost all of the Native American tribes will say, we did not make these mounds. But the official narrative is that the Native Americans made the Native American burial mounds. So they have their own lore, including teaming up to take down these giants. And it's in those provinces that you can find these giants. And this, you can look it up yourself. This is where the rabbit hole takes on a whole new monster. Because at any given point, you can turn around and say, but how do we know just because it's saying that we found it? And it's like, all right, fair enough.
Page. My brother makes fun of me. He's telling me like some historical thing. And I was like, how do you know? It's like, I read it. I said, so squiggles on a page? He's like, right. Well, everything is squiggles on a page. I'm like, right. Welcome to my world. Fucking torture.
The more that I've come down to in the last couple of days is that regardless of what is true, it's definitely not what we've always thought. So if that's the case and you take away what we've always been told, then doesn't that make really anything possible? So when you start having collective stories that are matching up indiscriminately and anonymously.
Yeah, I'm with you there. That I
like,
do. I
like
do.
Egyptian hieroglyphs with perfect illustration of what we would consider grays today in the alien world.
It could be real, or it could just be a real profound human archetype. And why would we have that? You know, why would that exist? Why would it be there when dinosaurs are not?
Right. Well, all we know is that all these questions open up more questions, because then you can rebut anything and, have an argument against anything, and it just opens up more questions. And then you're back worse from where you started.
And
you're
important, though, to remember when we have questions like this, or sometimes people relate to some alternative theory. And it's really important to keep an open mind, the same way that we do when we hear CNN say that you definitely need your booster, it's super important, and we just say, like, fuck that. But then we hear some crazy thing about, I don't know, whatever is going on in our community sometimes, people cling to that. But it's important to have an open eye and an open mind sometimes when you hear crazy shit. It doesn't mean
totally
it's false.
Yeah,
but you have to just like take it with a grain of salt and do your own research.
Like we always say,
I'm not making fun of it at all.
Think about it.
Oh, no.
I like I'm close.
Monica, I actually want to completely switch gears and hear about how you just saw the curvature of the Earth.
Oh, yeah.
This is the fourth time, my fourth proof that the Earth is curved. Once I was in the Concorde, which is like a rocket, and you could see the Earth just curving. Another time I went on a business trip to like Indonesia or something. So I flew eastward to get there, and then I flew eastward to get back. And the sun was in the correct place, where it should have been the entire time. So I circumnavigated the globe in a week and it worked. A Navy chaplain once told me, and I believe this checked out, that if you want to fire, if you have ships in war, you want to drop down behind the horizon so they can't see you. And then you want to shoot your missiles or whatever. And you have to adjust for the curvature of the Earth. So at 6:13 or 6:15, when I was waiting for you guys, that my husband, good thing you were... it took a little longer than you expected. My husband started literally get over here right away, right away, right. And I just thought, what could be that important? Nothing's that important, right? So like, I'm dragging my ass out there, whatever. He's overreacting. And he's like, look at that. Look at that. He's from Houston. So he loves rockets. Like he loves basketball rockets and he loves rockets in the sky because Houston was like Cape, whatever. Canaveral. So I don't remember what's in Houston, but anyway,
Houston, that whole thing.
Yes. He went to space camp when he was a kid. Now he goes to sleepaway.
What a nerd.
Yeah. Well, he does barbecue camp in Austin now. So I think that's a little bit, or maybe it's still in Houston. So we come outside and there's a white squiggle. It looks like, you ever see those ribbon dancers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The ribbon dancers. Yeah, I've seen this once before. It's a SpaceX rocket. Which is why I think they may actually get to the moon now, because what Wernher von Braun said is, I'm not working on the moon project until you find a new kind of fuel, because the fuel we have is too heavy to get you to the moon and back and off the ground. So you need a new kind of fuel. So that's why they're working on getting to the moon now, because they have this new kind of fuel. And it was a SpaceX rocket. And it's going, going, going. We're watching it. We see like one of the things disconnect. And then my husband had on the laptop, like it was guided landing, and it landed exactly perfectly. This thing that shot back from outer space landed perfectly on a barge because they're going to reuse it. It was very cool, very cool. And then my son said, So we're watching it disappear, you know, over the horizon. And he said, you realize that's going straight up. And I was like, so it was going straight up, but the reason it looked like it was going like this is because we were pulling away from it, because the Earth is rotating. So it couldn't have gotten out. There's no way, like it would be just a ridiculous waste of fuel. And I don't even know if it would be physically possible for it to just curve like that and blip out the other end of the atmosphere. It would never do that. They shoot it straight up. If it can get out, if it can escape the atmosphere at all, it can escape gravity enough to go straight up, but it takes it so damn long that we fall away. And it was absolutely the curvature of the Earth. It was freaky.
Interesting. So yeah. We got Moral Bob. I know you know Moral Bob. Huge yes. Flat earther. Shout out Moral Bob.
Hey, love Moral Bob.
We've done a flat earth debate with him and somebody else. Didn't work out quite the way we wanted it to, but we're going to try to schedule another one because he is very convinced and everybody else is very convinced, and we're just sitting here watching them fight because it's funny. So we're going to actually try to do another flat earth debate on this, and I will have to bring that one up because that's one I have actually.
Or if you want to come back on.
I was afraid you were going to say that, and I was like, oh, I hope they didn't realize that. I was just like, you want me to come on and debate?
So Moral Bob is awesome though. Like
I love Moral Bob. I'm like a sister of Moral Bob's in a way.
All right. Hell yeah. No, we love that. Moral Bob's amazing. I love listening to his, I don't care whether or not the Earth is round or flat. So I'll say that. Yeah. I've said it before. Our fans all know. But I love hearing his arguments for flat Earth because it's something I've never thought about.
Those are my four arguments. And also, I have a big telescope because my husband loves this stuff. And I've watched. So maybe the Earth isn't round, but Jupiter sure is and Saturn, because I've actually watched the moons of Jupiter like disappear behind Jupiter. So in this telescope, I can see Jupiter and I can see the four moons. I don't know how many moons there are, but I can see four. And sometimes you see three, and sometimes you see four, and then it just blips into three because they're ducking behind. And you can see Saturn. You can see the rings around Saturn, and you can see the shadow that Saturn casts on the ring. So the ring has a little bit of a shadow on it. It's freaky. It's freaky. There's just,
this
it's
is
not
why
possible.
You need to come on, Monica, because this, I love hearing ground earth arguments too.
I don't like to challenge people's beliefs.
No, you're not. You're just saying things. Like, that's all the debate should be. Like, I don't want people yelling at each other back and forth. I know that Ben and Joe don't either, but just people both saying, hey, what about this? Hey, what about this? And just arguing in a
non-game
way.
This is why we're the moderators, though, is because I don't really care. I'll watch people fight and just be like,
boner.
I don't care.
No, but
what?
I'm not fighting.
Well, my thing was if you know Moral Bob really well and you're really comfortable with him, then it should be that much less of an involved debate.
Okay. I'll do it.
Yeah, he would never be disrespectful
but
to
I
you.
But I also don't want to step on your thing. You got something working. Just
we're not arguing.
Oh no.
So
no, we're Michael Jackson eating the popcorn. Debate.
We're the moderators. We're just hosting, and then we have two other people on, or two or three or four, whoever wants to be on each side.
Yeah. I want to believe the earth is flat. Like, that would be super fun for me, but I cannot do it. Every time there's more and more evidence.
Why these debates are fun, is because
I don't think they would have told us it was round if they had it to do over again. Like, I think the problem is that they let that slip out while we were still getting real information. I'm sure they would. That's just a piece of information that's so important that for us to ever discover the truth about anything, if we didn't know that as like the vulgarians, the common people, if we didn't know that, we would never be able to figure anything out. It's like the electron microscope. Like there's fundamental knowledge about atoms and stuff that we can never verify firsthand because we're not the priests of the electron microscope and we don't speak the Greek that they write that stuff in.
Right.
But I feel like that they let the cat out of the bag with the you know, sphere Earth, I guess would be the right way to say it.
I know. I know the flat earther's response to that is that everything's inverted, and I kind of agree with that. Every time you look at something, everything is inverted.
Totally. Yes. This preceded that.
Earlier, though, is that there are truth sprinkled in with lies. So it, to me, the earth isn't round or flat. It's something that we don't know because it's so skewed that it could be a fucking triangle. Like, I don't know, maybe every other thing is round and we're a fucking triangle. Like, I
whatever
that.
Realm we live in tomorrow. the earth is neither round nor flat, and I think just the argument in general, just to divide people, is exactly the goal,
and it works.
Didn't I tell you that I was reading this book called Rosewater, and it said it was talking about people who were still using the internet and not in the metaverse. And they called he said he was a flat earth motherfucker. And I was like, oh, they ridicule. Isn't that interesting? That's what I think the flat earth thing is for.
Weird. A flat earth motherfucker.
Shame people into getting into the metaverse.
Huh.
By people who don't make that three-dimensional leap are people who are flat earthers, like, which is
it's gonna be like, if you don't think Biden's cool, then you're a Trump supporting QAnon listener.
Come on,
yeah,
man.
And they already have the insult ready that has an archetype in your mind. So, like, look, we're all flat right now. See how flat we are? That's fucked up.
Oh, very flat, very
right.
Flat.
But if we were cool, we'd be in the metaverse and we could, you know, grope each other or whatever. Relics like us, dinosaurs like us, flat earthers like us are crazy and unworthy. I just feel like that. I honestly believe that that's why the flat earth thing was invented.
That's so funny that you say that, actually, because I just posted that video of Katy Perry's weird eyeball thing, and I just thought it was a funny it looks funny, okay? And I made a joke about her being a robot, and I got into this long-ass conversation with somebody on Instagram, and then somebody else called me, you dumb flat earther who thinks she's a robot. I'm like, where did come from?
Oh, so they planted that picture to make people think that.
I don't know.
Picture to cause a divide.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Joe just made a joke, and people were just like, it's eyelash glue. Who cares?
And I was like, this is a joke.
He
page,
was like, hey,
fucker.
He's like, you're getting really mad about my joke about Katy Perry being a robot. Like, it was just a joke. all comedy, no serious conversation.
That's
about
really football. Funny. I had not seen that.
Well, yeah, everybody just shoots your social media in the face. Get rid of it.
Like one, Flat Earth was.
And
what
she's
they
got
thought.
Cans for cans.
Yes.
You see the picture? Yep. She's dressed in metal garbage. That's definitely.
Well, she is hot garbage, so it makes sense.
And then she just touches her temple. So I can see, though, as a girl who's. I think I've
that never happened to you. On Look at time. That picture. That
no,
did
no,
not
no.
Happen.
That's never happened to me. But if I had them glued on that tight, I can see pulling your temple to break the seal from the upper and lower.
Oh
lid.
Yes, this is what you.
I
would
will
do,
say
sure.
that.
Yes, that's right, what.
But
you would
she
do.
Does it in a really subtle way. But it looks like she's activating her like robot. Like,
I was like, you hit your temple button. That's how you fix your eyelid malfunction.
Okay. Right, that was the joke. I can see both sides, though. I can see where someone would. Pull on their temples
exactly
and as subtly as possible. Yeah,
I got fucking raked on Instagram though. I'm like, dude, I'm at work right now. I don't have time to deal with these people. Sorry, Ben, we kept cutting you off. Go ahead. Sorry.
You're fine. He's falling asleep. I what I think is funny is that, I mean, Flat Earth was taught again up until the late 1800s when the heliolistic model is what came into play as they figured it out. So Flat Earth was the common knowledge up until less than 150 years ago. That's
Hold
what they taught
on.
In
what
school.
About Magellan? Didn't Magellan figure that out?
The other
so I have
yes,
a coworker.
But it wasn't accepted.
I have a coworker who said he has like an encyclopedia that references Flat Earth from the late 1800s that her great great grandparents had at their house that she used to look at when she was little. And this woman is only in her 50s; she's not old. And she said, "Oh, I remember looking at these encyclopedias at my grandparents' house, and they would talk about the Flat Earth, and I was like." Do you have those? And she couldn't. She said they're in storage. My great grandma passed away.
I'm looking for, or Greener Postures is looking for an old encyclopedia. So if she wants to dig that out, either they or I will pay good money for the whole set.
All right. Well, I'll have to talk to you about that because she'll probably
good money. Be like with a comma in it. There's going to be a comma in that.
So the reason why I brought that up is because it wasn't recently invented. But it has seen a large resurgence. And the reason why it has a large resurgence is because of all of the so-called conspiracy theories that now have come to light as true, whether it be the UFO research,
yes,
whether it be,
I totally agree
whether
with
it
that.
Be people totally. Really, really starting to, with HD, able to break down the moon landing in 69. Well, you know, then why haven't we returned? Well, we lost the technology. You lost 1969 technology,
and
but we can
pictures.
Do this shit.
They lost
so,
the pictures too.
The other thing too is that what I really can't stand is much like Joe and Jen, I'm like, all I know is that it's not what we're fucking being told. But what bothers me is how people instantly get angry at somebody who believes in Flat Earth. Like it makes them it makes them mentally angry. And I go, why? I don't give a shit if they want to say that the world is a fucking piece of paper. I don't give a shit. Like
for me, it's like MAGA people.
Let's have a
I
conversation
like
about it. I want to hear
don't
your story.
Trump is real, but I like the MAGA people.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is just stupid. It's like, isn't this the whole point of figuring it out? But that's not the world we live in anymore. It's that if you have an opposing opinion, you get shut down, you get called this, that, and the other. And it's like, dude, I just want to hear stories. They thought they're
no,
flat.
That's the
really,
problem with the
really
show.
Recently.
We're so open to so many people coming on with their various opinions that people will automatically pigeonhole us as a certain thing because of a certain person that comes on the show. And I'm like, I don't even believe half of what they said. I don't believe half of what I
say. I think
say.
He's a Fed. I wasn't going to be rude to the guy, but halfway through, I realized he works for the CIA.
Like
I think he's a reptilian. Who fucking cares?
I would have Joe Biden on just to have Joe Biden on.
Where's your home?
I would have him on. I'd talk to him. I'd ask him where his home was. Are you in Oregon?
Oh,
I would ask him all the questions. Yes.
Well, people are so trained now with movies, media, everything we're seeing on social media that everyone should feel the same exact way. We all should feel the same way. And if you don't feel the same way as the mainstream, you're an outsider. So then you're trained to believe that the mainstream is you, like you're a part of it. And if someone's outside your train of thought, they're fucking bad and wrong. So then it gives this feeling of superiority. And we don't feel this, but I can feel it in other people. Like when people are like, who'd you vote for? Or even people who get mad at people who wear masks alone while they're in the car, like that. I'll say that for this community, for our listeners, I do not get mad at someone who's wearing a mask alone in their car, because guess what? I don't give a flying fuck what anyone's doing alone in their car. And if you are paying attention to that, that's just as fucking bad as, you know, being mad that there's vaccine mandates and whatever. Like, caring so much.
I have the about same what reaction to people wearing masks alone in the car as I do when I see a picture of Zelensky in a short sleeve green t-shirt with like that Miami Vice beard thing.
That war stubble. It's war stubble.
And it's fucking BDU camo pants.
I just start laughing uncontrollably, which is terrible because people who aren't in on it, it's like when I saw like some beheadings out of Syria. There are real fucking beheadings, and I've seen those videos.
Oh, I believe it.
Fucked up. But sorry, I assume we're allowed to use vulgarity. You guys don't, aren't though, because I guess you respect me, but I don't respect myself because I'm definitely.
What are you talking about? We cuss all the time. Fuck, fuckity, okay. fuck.
Well, your intro has cursing. I take it as a sign of respect. You won't curse my face.
Which is hilarious because our intro also has you.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, I do think so. I'm glad I didn't catch that this time.
Oh, we actually
have both cursing and Monica.
And we also have this.
Taint agent. Yeah, that's the one. But I just think it's so funny that this guy is, they act like he's, yeah, people who aren't in on the joke think that I'm like, you know, thousands of people are being bombed every minute by Putin and you're laughing at that guy. And actually, I'm sure people are. That's a terrible situation, very tragic. But when I see this guy come out of his bunker and there's like, it looks like a movie set. And then have you seen the one that where it is a movie set? Have you seen the one of him on the green screen with they're making a hologram of him and they show how they can place him in different settings? It's the craziest, totally real. It's crazy. Peter Gabriel is in it for some crazy reason. Anyway, so I see this and you see him come out from his bunker. And it's got Macron, it's got Boris Johnson, it's got whatever, Nancy Pelosi, and they're all in their suits. And he's like in his fatigues with this thing like, okay, we better take cover. You know, I've been trying to shave for months, but there's no water in this damn bunker. You know, it's like, what the fuck? It's
he's an actor.
Vague. I know, he's an actor, just like Trump. He's an actor, but I see that and I see people in the car with the masks on. And I just laugh, and it kind of sucks because I'll be driving past them, and I'm really not laughing at them. It just tickles my funny bone. Mm-hmm. I just think it's funny because it's all in their minds, you know? It's really, like, you can't even say the whole thing is real and masks work, but that is in their minds.
It really is in their minds.
And
actually,
it's funny. I just don't like when people get angry about it. I guess
I probably make laugh about it all you want. Because I just thought, I think it's so funny.
Nah, it's okay to laugh about it.
We actually have a live feed here from Zelensky.
I love lamp.
Oh, that sounds like about what he would say. Huh.
Well, and the thing is, too,
is the bombing very, very bad there, Zelensky?
I love lamp.
Are you just saying you love lamp or do you really love lamp?
I love lamp.
Okay. Thank you, Zelensky.
Like, my whole thing is, too, is that it's like, why is it that we have to split hairs on making fun of somebody and then also getting angry at them? I'll make fun of whoever the fuck I want. If I see you wearing a mask in a car, guess what? I'm going to make fun of you.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean that I hate you. It doesn't mean that I'm mad at you. But I am going to go, ha, 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 ha. Look at that.
That's just a lot of time to spend on someone else's choices. Like, that wouldn't be... All right, so I was thinking the other day...
Well, but they're trying to impose their shit on you. You know
they are, but who cares? Like, I just try not to care. I imagine if it was... 5-10 years ago and you saw someone in their car alone wearing a mask, would you be angry? Would you even care?
No, but
you
might be people like, are clearly
maybe
they're
trying concerned
to lock us up. Like those people are, we're not the ones looking for legislation. We're not the ones looking for rules. The chances are those are the people who are looking to impose on my life because they have a delusion. And when I used to see people in a mask 10 years ago, I was so stupid. I thought they were sick.
That's what I was about to say. Is
I thought they were ill and concerned. Very considerate. And then I realized that they were paranoid and think that I am right. They think that I am the lowest form of life.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're disgusting. Yeah, no, you're like look like a human being, but we all know you're just an animal. Get away from me and yeah,
put your muzzle back
from
on.
Other countries, huh?
I think the reason is so layered because when somebody like us, you could say, sees somebody like that in the car, there's a million things that go. It's not just somebody in mask in their car. There's this whole last 2 years. There's this whole, like you said, right. They're delusional. There's, I guarantee you, they love Biden. Like there's this whole like automatic stereotyping of this person.
They're in the basket.
You're arguing with them in your head. Without even saying a word.
But then you've been programmed too. If you're doing that in your mind, you're programmed too. If that's all what goes through your mind, and I'm not arguing with you, babe, I love you, but
no, I didn't say I am.
If all of those things go through your head, then you've been had, man. Sorry.
We're reactionary.
Just drive on past and go on doing what you're doing, then that's a problem.
If you see somebody in a mask and think that they're a Biden supporter, right there, you're doing the very thing that people are doing to us by saying we don't want to wear masks.
Right. It's a divisive thing. But nine times out of ten, it is true, but it also doesn't really matter. So that comes back to what we were talking about before the show, and we can wrap on this because I know you're getting going soon. Ben's fading. But real quick, all we talked about with the midterms, and normally when you're on, it's more of a geopolitical type thing, but we're so out of the loop with the midterms and who's running and everything. And what we talked about a couple days ago was they should all be strung up by their necks. Doesn't really matter if there's a red wave. Doesn't matter who's in the Senate or the House. I don't fucking care. They all suck and continue living your life. So do you have anything to add to that? Or is that pretty much it?
Oh, that was a big breath.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of hope. I think the Republicans always let me down. Like my old standby though is if they think they can give you an avowed communist, like if Bernie Sanders or socialist or whatever, if Bernie Sanders really did win, like, or they put him in, that's because they think they can get away with that. DeSantis, in my opinion, is absolutely definitely an inside job. Definitely. He was like a JAG guy, a judge, advocate general, and a Navy SEAL. And he went to Yale Law School. I mean, the guy is clearly created at some level.
He was procured.
Procured or created? What's procured?
I was talking about like the whole baby buying thing from earlier. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Yes. Like that. And yes, I'm sure. So, but my point is, if the words they are making him say are things that at least I like the sound of, that's better. You know, that's better. So I would rather have people who have to lie to me than people who don't, because there's so many people who are like, think I'm wrong. A lot of people think that like our general viewpoint, everybody here is reasonable, even though it's mocked on media, like whatever you're talking about, liberty or like just sanity or anything. If enough people don't think that they have to, that the people on the top have to pretend that we have a point. I like that. You know, I like that. I want to keep them feeling like they haven't gotten a hold of our minds yet. They lie to us. We don't hold them to the fire. I don't vote for Republicans and Democrats. I don't like, well, we've just got to get Republican, even if they are like, no, I don't. I vote for Ron Paul. I vote for my mom. You know, I'll vote. But just to register my protests, and I'll vote something real. Like I would vote for you guys if it made any sense whatsoever.
Just write our names.
Voting for you for president in a couple of years. Just letting you know.
There. I do have somewhere Perez and Binkley 2020 thing. That would have been actually probably an improvement for sure. I don't care about it at all. I'm not sure that the elections are real. If they were real and my guy, whoever that is, which is nobody, got in, could he try to do his best? No, they would kill him or turn him. And if he were actually able to do his best, what good would it do? Because how do you even get started? The closest we ever came was Ron Paul waking people up simply to restoring the Constitution. That's all we would have to do. You don't have to reinvent this wheel. And even as close, when he won Iowa, I think that's when they're like, we need to redirect this energy to just some loudmouth identity politics guy on the right. So they're way ahead of us and it doesn't matter, but I am glad that there are enough people who are pissed that they show up in their MAGA hats and, you know, they like, you know, I'm happy that they're at least not capitulating, but I agree with Jen. Like it's the reactionary thing is probably a trap too, because then you might get like fascism and then that's going to be worse. And I don't know. I think
doing the same thing in a different direction, you know?
So my idea is try to figure out a way, like it can be, if I don't have to work or I can do this, like just a really remote place where I can, my kids are probably going to all be sterile because of the vax shit flying around their faces and whatever, whoever they marry is definitely going to have some kind of epicyte, you know, sterilizing corner. I don't know what. So let's just hope that I can find a little corner of the world, have enough money to make my cocktails. And like Ben said, just eat the popcorn.
Yeah. And also, everybody, please stop sucking Tulsi Gabbard's dick because she is a graduate of the Young Global Leaders
She's
of the
a
World.
CFR.
Yes. Stop it. Just stop it with her. I'm over it. All right, Monica, tell everybody where they can find you and what you're doing, and we'll cut you loose and feed you to the wolves.
Yes, yes, thank you. No, yes, my wolves are my family. Oh, we've got a house full of boys right
now. That's what I meant.
So, yes, yes. So, I am doing Deep Dives with Monica Perez. It's so much more work than I thought I could just, until I had more time in my life, I could just have this little placeholder of a thing. And I was going to do one every single day. I can barely do one a week. I take a headline of the day and I just really get to the bottom of it. And I think they're pretty good, but they're a lot of work. So I also do interviews. I do buddy dives, talk to other people. You can get that at Deep Dives with Monica Perez on your favorite podcasting platform. But I do also like to chit chat. So you can chat with me on Twitter at Monica Perez Show.
Hell yeah. Well,
hell yeah.
With all
going on Rockman Propaganda Report.
Yes. And with how busy you are, we thank you so much for taking time for our retarded show here. And sorry about the word retarded. I just say it all the time.
You don't mean it in a bad way. Some of my favorite people are retarded.
We mean it in a 90s way.
Yeah, yeah. We mean it in the OG way.
It's like gay, the South Park.
Yeah. If I say gay or retarded, I just mean Ben. So take it as that.
I got you, babes. Oh, Ben.
All right.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Nice. We'll see you again soon. And one day you will come up here and actually have a cocktail with us in person. I mean, that's true. Us a cocktail in person.
Absolutely. You make the syrups, we'll make it out of your chicken's eggs.
There you go. Oh, you're not making me a drink out of eggs.
That's what a flip is. We started with a flip. A flip has a whole egg in it and a sour has only an egg white. There you go. So that's
proves cool you're not AOC.
I'm so not AOC.
Good podcasting right there.
I know how to crack a can and shotgun it. That's it. All right, guys. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night. Thanks, Monica.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.